Join me today as I break down the biggest alien revelation you probably missed. A new whistleblower claims he transported a down egg-shaped UFO and that he had a spiritual possession in the process of doing so. I'll give you the occult background of this entire story that News Nation and the mainstream media will never be able to explain. From John Dee to Aleister Crowley, Jack Parsons, we'll connect the symbolism of the egg and how it's part of the Freemasonic great work to create this new reality and start a new alien religion. I'll provide some background on Gary Nolan's role and his history with Professor Diana Pasulka, and we'll connect it into Aleister Crowley's Lamb, the Trinity site, the Tic Tac video, Chris Bledsoe, and the Gnostic god of winged eggs. If you already read my Substack article on the subject, don't change the channel because I'm going much deeper into these occult concepts of alien gods today. I'm your host, Isaac Weisop. I've written 9 books on how our world is shaped by occult forces, and this is the year that they're going to push down the alien agenda, as I talked about in my previous 2 books. You're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. Now, those 2 books I was talking about, written in 2020 and 21, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. Go get them now. I narrated them on Audible to make it as easy as possible, all right? It's very important because this year you're going to be faced with some existential crises about your alien gods, all right? And I actually talked about aliens being part of this agenda for 2025 back in 2018 in The Dark Path. So, which you can get not for free, but you can get when you sign up for my supporter feeds. I'll give you a copy of The Dark Path and Kubrick's Code, the PDFs, all right? For a cup of coffee, my God. Oh, and speaking of which, my next episode is going to be the bonus episode for January. And judging by the votes that I've received on Patreon, it appears that it's going to be about the LA fires. I let you guys decide. You tell me what you want me to talk about. So we're going to do a show about the LA fires. And if you're like, man, I don't want to miss out on that, and I don't want to miss out on the 54 Twin Peaks Grey Lodge episodes now that you've pretty much completed the Twin Peaks journey, and I don't want to miss out on the hundreds of bonus episodes you've done so far, I've got a deal for you because I need you to help me test my system. Because the VIP section, I had a glitch. I had someone sign up, and for whatever reason, the system missed it. It's very, very technical nerd talk, but long story short, it appears to be fixed. I contacted the software folks, and we think it's fixed, but I need some more signups just to test it, so I'm going to give a promo code of egg. That's right, egg, like the aliens we're talking about today. Just singular, just egg. I should have made it eggs, but it's egg. You get 3 months half off of tier 1 or tier 2. So you can get in for $250 a month for 3 months, or tier 2, which is the video, gives you the video version ad-free as well, for $5 a month, you know, half off for 3 months. It's only good for the monthly tier 1 and tier 2, and you get it for 3 months. All right? And it's only available for the VIP section. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VIP tab up top, and you're in there. All you got to do for the VIP section is be able to copy and paste an RSS feed into one of the compatible apps. Check the list of apps. Make sure this works for you. If you have any issues at all, just hit me up. I will cancel, refund. I'm not here to like screw you out of stuff. This is only for the people that want it and need it and need that bonus ad-free content, because we're going to talk about the LA fires, apparently. So now, as I said, I did a Substack article on this. I'm going to ask you to do something else, too. Go to Substack. Wait a minute. No. What's the link? Is it a... Oh, you think I would know. You think I would know my own link. It's IlluminatiWatcher.substack.com. And it's free. Just sign up and subscribe, because I'm leaning more into it this year. I like writing. This reminds me of my golden age of blogging. This is how this whole journey started. And Substack's going to be the place to do it, because, as you know, Google shadow banned my website. So what do you know? What do you know? All the technocracy oligarchs who are standing on front row are all the ones who banned and shadowed, banned and all the stuff. But yeah, I did an article about this egg thing for a couple of reasons. I don't need to delve into it, but like, I was sick and we had a whole bunch of stuff going on at the house. And but this is, today's show is going to go much deeper into it. All right, I'm going to provide a lot more background and nerdy occult concepts We're going to get into it. And the last episode I published was my appearance on The Confessionals with Joel Thomas. If you haven't listened to that one, I would recommend it. Not necessarily required, but it's going to supplement a lot of what we're talking about today. Okay? Now, let's get into the subject. There's a guy named Dr. Stephen Greer. We've talked about him on this show many times. He's got interesting perspectives on aliens and UFOs. Particularly, he believes that we can summon these things through what I always talk about as the SIDHIS. SIDHIS. It's these supposedly sort of like Tibetan superpowers of man. I read the autobiography of Yogananda forever ago, and this guy claimed he was levitating and floating through walls and all kinds of stuff. Well, this extends into the whole consciousness element of this thing. And as you know, I the jury's out for me on all of this. I have no idea what to believe. So I'm here learning with you guys. I have my suspicions. But I think that Stephen Greer was having people in his documentaries he's released over the years. He suggests that you can somehow meditate and use his CE5 app, which I bought and tried out just to see what it was like. And I didn't give it the full run through. Like, I didn't do the whole like meditate for months on end or whatever it is that it requires. I was just curious about it. It seemed kind of shaky to me, but because that's the big argument against Greer, Dr. Greer, is that he's a grifter. And I don't know that either. I like some of the things he says. Then other times I'm like, man, maybe he is a grifter. You know, he charges a couple grand a person to show up to the desert and he can show you how to meditate and channel these aliens into existence. The UFOs, the UAP, whatever. Sounds grifty. But I don't know. Maybe. I mean, like, on the surface, you're like, man, that's expensive. A couple grand to go hang out in the desert with you. But, I mean, everything costs money, right? Everything costs time. I don't know. I'm not sure what to believe. But either way, and his whole angle has been, he seems to be of the angle that the aliens, entities, are benevolent creatures. They're here to help us. And his angle has been that the military-industrial complex is going to do their damnedest to scare us, to be scared of these things, so we can funnel money into, I guess, weapon systems and give up privacy in exchange for the safety from the alien threat. That's kind of been his angle. It's an interesting thought. Like I said, jury's out for me. I don't know what to believe. And he claimed the weekend before this whistleblower came out, he claimed that there was going to be this massive revelation that was going to happen. And I believe this is it. All right. And what was shocking to me after hearing this whistleblower testimony is that it supports a lot of the occult consciousness aspects of the phenomenon. Okay. And what we're talking about is on News Nation, which I don't know, appears to be the front runner in disclosure. I mean, they came up out of nowhere with the David Grush interview. Because I remember I did many shows on David Grush and what he's been claiming. And I believe in my first one, I mentioned, I'm like, News Nation, who's this? They've popped up out of nowhere, which is always mad sus, red alarms for me, red flags. But whatever, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I proceed with caution. It's not like I trust the other mainstream medias either. Like, I mean, you can't trust anyone at this point. You can't trust the mainstreams. You can't trust the alternatives. You can't trust me. You can't trust social media. You can't trust content creators. You got it. That's why I named my books Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, because that's the world we're living in post-pandemic. Everyone's decided to choose their own reality. So you live in the world you create inside your head. This is very woo-woo, new age spirituality, and I think that those guru nerds may be right. If you are living in fear and a state of hate and discontent, that's the world you're going to live in. and vice versa. Now, News Nation posted an interview. Ross Colthbert, I forgot how to say his name. He's one of these main journalists. He's English, so like that. There's all these things that are just red flags to me. They throw in guys with English accents to make you like trust them more, I guess. Like they sound more sophisticated or intelligent to the American dialect. I don't know why it is. It just is. So I always think, well, that's another thing that's kind of odd. And Ross interviews a new whistleblower named Jake Barber. And Jake the Snake Barber claims he took part of multiple missions to retrieve downed craft, UFO, UAP, whatever. I'm calling them aliens and UFOs because I'm an old guy and I'm not buying into the propaganda. Furthermore, and also you're going to bear with me. I was sick for like 2 weeks. I'm a mess. My throat's a mess. So I got a fisherman's friends here. I'm going to pop one for you guys. That's how much I love you. I'm willing to eat fisherman friends to get through this information. So Jake the Snake, he made all these claims. I would recommend you watch the full 40-minute interview. I'm going to tell you some of the basics of what he talks about. And on this News Nation interview, they post a clip of him of supporting the supporting evidence of him claiming he claims he like worked. Look, he was like in the military doing some Rambo stuff and gets out and he flies helicopters for contractors retrieving and moving things in the desert and the ranges, whatever. And one mission he went on was to retrieve this thing, this egg-shaped craft. So he does so. And he says, I saw an egg, a white egg. Just visually looking at the object on the ground, you could tell that it was extraordinary and anomalous. It was not human. Now, you'll recall, and throughout the show, I'm going to reference you back to previous egg instances. You'll recall the first three Pentagon UFO videos that launched this whole thing back in 2017 or 18. Or maybe it was later. Anyways, one was the 2004 Nimitz FLIR video, F-L-I-R, forward-looking infrared. And it was the Tic Tac video, which was described as an egg shape, or a Tic Tac, I guess, by Lieutenant Commander Chad Underwood. Quote, a white oblong featureless thing. Now we'll explain how monumental this egg description is to the world of the occult and ufology, but let's continue looking and wrapping up the Jake the Snake Barber testimony here. Not testimony, but statements. He said, I felt like something connected with me. I felt like something had tuned into me and my soul and was providing me some sense of guidance on what to do and how profound what I was doing was. And it was so overwhelming, I began to cry. I felt like something was inside of me. I felt like I was possessed by the most beautiful spirit I had ever been possessed by, and it was loving. But there was a sense of sadness at the same time. It was a very feminine energy, I'll tell you that. Felt like the spirit of God, but not in any masculine sense, and it wasn't like a soul, it was like a frequency I was connected with. And whatever that force was, since that night, it has stayed with me, and as crazy as that sounds, it's what's guiding me now, and it's what's providing protection. So Jake went on a real spiritual journey here, okay? And I'm sure some of you listening are already connecting dots in your head, because you've been listening forever and you're like, oh, I know what's going on here. But let's just keep going, all right? We'll connect them later. But that's basically what Jake Barber's testimony, not testimony, I keep saying that. That's what Jake Barber is claiming on this News Nation interview, okay? Got an egg-shaped craft that was from another world. It possessed him. It was beautiful and it was feminine. All right. It seemed to change his life is what it seems like. Very powerful, apparently. So then simultaneously on Reddit, which, I mean, you got to take this with a much larger grain of salt. There were some images. It was actually on 4chan, but I read about it on Reddit. I'm not a big 4chan user. But because 4chan is all anonymous, right? Like, so who knows? But some anonymous sources on 4chan claimed that there was a whistleblower who also had some egg-shaped UFO pictures that could be leaked. And what it shows is, and I'll try to remember to put it on the Instagram. I put it on the there's a strip of like four images vertical, and I put it on the artwork for the show. So you can check that out, but you can find the whole, I'll try to put a link in the show notes for the Reddit if I can. But anyways, this the image, it's pretty grainy. It's green, it's, you know, night vision, and supposedly it was actually a camera, presumably from a phone, took a photo of a computer screen. That's why it's so grainy. And what it shows is an egg-shaped UFO, and it was supposedly from a retrieval mission in Antarctica at the Queen Elizabeth's Range. And what's interesting is that one of the images shows hieroglyphs on the wall. It's very hard to read, but it's there. And it also shows that the egg had a storage pod of sorts. There was an egg and then there was a pod. And I'm confused because I think they're saying that there's an egg-shaped UFO craft and then there's an egg-shaped pod. And within that pod was a sleeping entity, which in a different post gets further elaborated upon. And there's another image that was released of a sort of zoomed in image of the egg with hieroglyphs on the egg, but then other people dispelled it because the interviewer, if you read through the interviewer with the whistleblower claims that there was no hieroglyphs on the egg. It was just completely smooth and round. So who knows? But the shot was taken from a 2022 mission to Antarctica, as I said. And this person claims it was from the UN Office for Outer Space Affairs. And I looked that up. That's a real office. I had no idea that existed. Not a good look, right? Because you got the whole connection to Lucius Trust and Alice Bailey and Helena Blavatsky when you go down that UN rabbit hole. Plus, they've got that monolith for, I don't know, the meditation stone or whatever they call it. Weird stuff going on at the UN. And the claim is that this entity is from the same civilization as Jake the Snake Barber's egg. That's the claim. The whistleblower claims there's no way of getting inside the egg, and that they talk to this non-human entity that's inside the pod, or the coffin, they call it. And the whistleblower claims that the pod was comparable to cryogenics, meaning this pod was keeping the entity alive, because the entity claims it was born here 700 years ago. The whistleblower describes the entity as an 8-foot tall, white long hair, human face, strong chin, blue eyes, and blonde hair. Nordic. That's a Nordic, right? And a Nordic variety species of alien, for people who are unfamiliar. And the whistleblower claims that there's a lot of disinformation going around about this whole event. The whistleblower says, "But I wouldn't trust most of the ones you see on those Congress streams." Referring to the, let me back up. The whistleblower claims that a lot of the whistleblowing things you see in the media, presumably Lou Elizondo, Commander Fravor, arguably George Knapp and Jeremy Corbell, I would argue throw them in there too, because they're kind of in league with these people, which is kind of weird, because I trust George Knapp, and I pretty much trust Corbell, I think. So, again, I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't have any insiders who tell me what's really going on, but the whistleblower claims that there's a lot of disinformation going around. The whistleblower said, "But I wouldn't trust most of the ones you see on those Congress streams. There are two groups, as most of you know here. One wants disclosure, the others don't. Let's just say the others are presenting you BS. You're getting more info here now." Okay? And the whistleblower answers a bunch of Q&A questions on 4chan, but I read the post on Reddit. So someone copied and pasted it for full disclosure here, okay? The entity learned English in a week, apparently, how, I don't know. Why the whistleblower doesn't go into detail on these things is beyond me. I don't, like, that's the stuff that makes me suspicious. I'm like, did you take him to the Rosetta Stone headquarters in Switzerland or whatever? I don't know. And also claimed the egg had no symbols on it. The entity inside the egg claims he's here because the humans are on the cusp of a conflict between his race and our creators, meaning there's two alien races. And we were created by aliens as part of the belief here. And he says we're headed to a civilization reset caused by, you know, natural disasters, impending World War III, all this stuff. Okay. He says their race saved us millions of years ago from our creators who basically engineered us to serve them, which sounds like the Anunnaki, right? Zechariah Sitchin and the early ancient alien theories believe that the Anunnaki from Planet X, Nibiru, engineered humans, mankind, to mine gold for them because they needed gold for their atmosphere to stay alive. That's one of the beliefs. And later he's asked about this, so I wasn't the only one thinking that, right? Later someone asked if there's an Anunnaki, and the entity kind of said so. The entity says that the myth was born from the same event, but the humans were the ones that gave him the name Anunnaki. But the entity confirms that there is actually no Nibiru. There is no Planet X. So I guess we're wrong what planet they come from. But he claims that these Anunnaki were selfish and materialistic, and there's some of them still around underground. And there's conflicts between these two alien groups. So I'm guessing he's saying that the Nordics is the good race, and the Anunnaki are the evil race, the selfish ones. But he compares it to the myths of good versus evil, Satan versus he uses the Yahweh. But yeah, that's, you know, what the alien says. So he goes on and he talks about how the evil Anunnaki folks destroyed the Mars civilization, and they are currently running our Earth now. And this is interesting to me. This is juicy. He says, according to the entity, they destroyed Mars's civilization during a war also because Mars refused to be annexed to their empire. What happened to Mars was told time and time again by our saviors to our ancestors. This is why Mars is seen as the planet of war and blood on many ancient cultures. Our creators are destructive, and we're not different, really. And then later he's asked about that remote viewing of Mars that the CIA did. I did a whole show about it years ago. And he said the viewing was accurate. And if you recall the remote viewing, the remote viewers was instructed to go back in time like millions of years or something crazy. And he said he saw these tall giants, tall, massive aliens and massive structures and all this stuff. So apparently that was real. Someone asked, are they the hidden ones in control and manipulation of the Earth hierarchy? And the entity says they are. Dwight D. Eisenhower Alliance is real. And instead of accepting those who want to really help us, he went with the creators. So the Anunnaki, I guess, right? He and other leaders traded civilians for small tech leaks. So they're saying that the powers that be are selling out the human race, presumably for abductions and things like that, in exchange for technology, which makes a lot of sense in terms of all the theories we've heard over the years about, you know, because Eisenhower supposedly met up with the aliens when it was claimed he was having a dental surgery or something. And his granddaughter, Laura Eisenhower, she does a lot of stuff talking about consciousness, aliens, and things like this. It's fascinating. I'm going to keep going here. Would you comment on what lies are being told by the other faction? And here's the lies. So he's saying there's two camps of aliens, some good, some evil, I guess. Maybe that's an oversimplification. And those two factions are represented by all the argument of what's going on with disclosure right now. So I don't know whose team, like Lou Elizondo, George Knapp, Corbell, Stephen Greer, I don't know whose team is on, who's on whose team. I don't know. But he's saying that the evil faction that's spreading lies are saying that, one, aliens are not demons. So the entity is saying, yes, there's demonic aliens. That's probably the Anunnaki, I'm guessing, right? Two, there are no remote viewers finding UAPs. Three, there are no alien dead bodies. All are alive and work with us because they want to. Some because they want to continue with the abduction project, while others, like those working with us, want to see us flourish. If they wanted to leave, they would, and we couldn't stop them. They're hiding, and if we had dead bodies, believe me, they would fetch them in a heartbeat, whatever we wanted it or not. Number four, they are not surrendering the UAPs to us. These civilizations are millions of years old, and we are ants compared to them. Five, most retrievals are from ancient machinery, abandoned, basically. They don't crash, per se. Although during their conflicts in the deserted areas, we might find crashed ones. So let me go back to the beginning here, because I'm reading it again. I'm questioning, because the question is, would you comment on what lies are being told by the other faction? And the answer is, one, aliens are not demons. Okay, yeah, I think that reads the same way, right? He's saying that, yes, there are demonic aliens. Because I believe Lou Elizondo is the one who he's said multiple times that the Collins Elite, which is a group that I discussed in my Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult books, the Collins Elite is a group of people since the 40s, since this all started, who have been saying, hey, there's like, they're like, we're dealing with some demonic forces here. We shouldn't mess with this. And they've been allegedly part of like the Pentagon, I guess, and this secret space program, whatever, that have been trying to push back on the American, I guess, government or military or whatever, trying to learn more about the aliens and their craft and their technology. And the Collins Elite are more like religious, you know, Christian warrior types, apparently, who are like, no, don't do that. It's demonic. Because they probably know the true history of this thing is tied into the occult, right? Which occultists would argue they are not demonic. Subjective answer, right? And Lou Elizondo in interviews over the last 20 years has been saying, not 20 years, but he's been saying that for the last 20 years that the Collins Elite basically have been losing influence, and how I've heard him sort of mock them. So that's interesting. So I would believe that Lou is maybe part of the, according to this anonymous 4chan supposed whistleblower that's totally possibly made up and just a troll, that Lou Elizondo is part of the Anunnaki faction, the evil faction, by saying that, oh, no, these aren't demonic. So anyway, the entity goes on and on and on, and the entity says that the closest we ever got to the real truth of what's going on in this world in reality is the Corpus Hermeticum. And that's, of course, referring to Hermes Trismegistus, a.k.a. Thoth. We've talked about him a million times. Talked about him in the Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult books, both of them. And it's specifically about the way that Hermes spoke about God as the One to describe the divine, which is a very occult concept, right? It's one of those perennial philosophies. It's the idea that we are all one. We are all one consciousness. Whatever, right? And again, I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I have no idea. Some days I dig into this stuff and I think that's the real truth. If you consult with like the Orthodox fathers, they would probably tell you like this is all occult nonsense. I think Father Seraphim Rose even talks about it. It ties into a lot of these figures of the 1940s and 50s, like Aldous Huxley and so on. And on and on and on it goes, right? But we're going to tie Aleister Crowley into the egg here with his entity called Lamb, right? We've talked about Lamb before. It was the result of a ritual called the Amalantra working that Crowley did in New York. Yeah, New York in 1917 or 18. I always forget because the consensus is that it was 1 year, but I've read from Kenneth Grant that it was set, I think, 1917. But I think the consensus will tell you 1918, but I believe Kenneth Grant, who would know more than anyone, I believe he said it was 1917 and outside the circles of time. Don't quote me on that. But something I found during that research is pretty relevant because, as you know, the history of it, Crowley channels this entity Lamb and later depicts it in the foreword on the commentary of The Voice and the Vision. It's a whole thing. We never really clearly spoke about what Lamb was, but what he drew was the first depiction of a gray alien. And when it comes to Lamb, one of the big questions that people have about Lamb, in terms of like the occultists that buy into all this, is that are these Lamb entities from inner or outer dimensions? Are they extraterrestrial? Or are they interdimensional kind of things? But in the occult, they all subscribe to this idea of one consciousness, perennial philosophy stuff, right? And to them, both dimensions truly exist. Michael Berto was a magician that made contact with Lamb in the 1960s. In fact, just this morning, I was talking to someone on Patreon who asked me about Michael Berto, if I had heard of him or read his books. And I've heard of him. I have yet to read his books. I wrote you back, dear Patreon supporter. I wrote you back asking if there's a good book to start with, because I don't know a ton about him. But I mentioned in the email I sent you that I was like, dude, I know I just talked about Michael Berto. It's weird that it gets brought up like that. But Berto was a magician. He made contact with Lamb in the 1960s. Okay? And there was this group called the Cult of Lamb. I think it was the name, the Cult of Lamb, that was into this stuff. Anyway, Berto, he's interesting because he was consecrated, or he consecrated Bill Schnobelin. I don't remember if I'm saying his name right. He consecrated the Bill Schnobelin into the Gnostic Church and the Ordo Templi Orientis, because Schnobelin, he was one of those early figures that captured my interest, because he claimed he's like, look, I used to be an occultist, and then I became a Mormon, and then I was an evangelical. And he compared the three belief systems, and he claims that the Mormons worship Lucifer based on his knowledge of the occult, which he, in fact, was in the occult. Michael Berto consecrated him. Anyways, Brian Butler, a different occultist, he detailed his journey into making contact with Lamb, and he described Lamb as a group of entities operating outside of our space and time, and Lamb is supposed to guide us through the evolution. And I bring all this up because that's what this entity in the egg on the 4chan, which again, could be total nonsense, the 4chan whistleblower claims that that's what the entity said it was doing for us as well, guiding human evolution. And anyway. And Kenneth Grant, he described Lamb as the gateway to the void. The number is 71. And it means nothing or silence, which is why Lamb is depicted without ears, by the way. And Edward Kelly, he had one of his ears cut off for being a thief, I believe. Anyway, the egg. Let's unpack the egg stuff. Let's unpack the first part of this revelation, because it's pretty significant with the history of the occult and contact with the divine, which again is like perennial philosophy stuff, Gnostics sort of beliefs. Because they bump up against Christianity, because in Christianity they believe in the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was God the Son. And with these occult beliefs, they're kind of like, I think they reconcile some of this by they'll claim that God was created by the One, sort of, and sent to Earth as a teacher, like every other ascended master. Like he was no different than every other ascended master. He was nothing particularly special. They're all God, And it's part of a ecumenical movement. And that's what Father Seraphim Rose warns against in Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future. That was his whole take, is like, look, this alien religion's coming, and the whole point of this is to shut down Christianity as a specific belief system. It wants to say, look, everyone's got it right a little bit, you know? And that was, you know, and that's the Orthodox Christian sort of militant viewpoint. And I don't, all the things that that I've learned is that that is the truth, but I don't know. But let's unpack this stuff here. So Crowley, we already talked about his sort of channeling of Lamb. And Lamb translates as the path, right? Supporting that idea of evolution for humanity. But Crowley, he made contact with Lamb by utilizing older magic rituals concocted by John Dee and Edward Kelly, what they called the Enochian language, which was given to them by the angels, a.k.a. entities, a.k.a. aliens themselves. And the language was called Enochian because it goes back to the Book of Enoch, which I think I did two episodes on that not too long ago. And if you're looking for any of these episodes, you can go to IlluminatiWatcher.com. I got a link in the show notes and everywhere for the index of all episodes, and you can just do a Control F search and find it, okay? Even if you're on the supporter feed, at least you can narrow it down to like what month you got to scroll back to, right? So I did shows on the Book of Enoch, I'm pretty confident, which was a, you know, pre-diluvian, what do you call it, diluvian time, before the flood. And the fallen angels named the Watchers came down, made sexy time with the women, and they create this race of giants, these demigods called the Nephilim. And these fallen spirits, the Nephilim, the Watchers, they were teaching mankind the arts of the occult, the seedies kind of, right? Necromancy, talking to the dead, divination, predicting the future, and magic, of course, always with the magic. And that's why God was like, you know what? F all you haters, and you flooded the earth, and Noah created the ark. Now, the Enochian language utilized by Crowley was part of what he called the Amalantra working, and he describes it in Liber 729. Now, this diary book describes a ritual he conducted with his Scarlet Woman, his female assistant, named Roddy Miner, a.k.a. the Camel. The Camel is the coolest nickname. And it describes a series of spiritual contacts being made, some visions and such. And one of these entities was Amalantra, okay? Amalantra Ding Dong, which was a wizard who said that he was numerically equivalent to 729. That's where the book title comes from, okay? 729 being the cube of 9, 999. All right, where have you heard that before? Juice World, okay? Keep with me now. This all makes sense in the end. I'm not tying Juice World into it, sorry. But during this discussion with this sleeve of wizard Amalantra, Roddy, a.k.a. the Camel, had a vision, and the vision was an egg underneath a palm tree. And Amalantra goes on to teach Crowley, because the whole thing was, it was this weird vetting process, because the Camel, she comes out of her little seance trance or whatever, and she tells Crowley, hey, I met this wizard and he wants to talk to you. And Crowley was like, man, get out of here. And she's like, no, for real, there's a wizard and he's trying to talk to you. And Crowley like questioned it, and they go back and forth, and finally Crowley's like, all right, fine, I'll talk to the wizard. So Amalantra goes on to teach Crowley about the name of Baphomet and provides the true spelling, which Crowley determines actually means Father Mithras, referring us back to the Roman sun cult of Mithras, which is interesting when you looked at the Olympics with the red Phrygian hats, the Phrygian caps that we talked about last year, comes from Mithras. Okay? So Snoop Dogg is Illuminati confirmed. Over and over and over again. He was at the Olympics. He was at the inauguration. Like, he's Illuminati confirmed. Trust me. Now, without going deeper into this, like, occult talk, another side tangent we could have is that the term Malantra actually is a phrase that means dead sphinx, which it ties into Egyptian mythology and even the LDS religion. And again, I keep teasing it, but I haven't got an update from Tony or Joel. But we did a documentary Well, we did. They did. I showed up in it for 2 seconds. About Aleister Crowley channeling aliens, basically. I can't give you a lot more than that, but we're gonna elaborate more upon this idea of the Dead Sphinx. And you might see some cool Salt Lake City stuff. I don't know. I'm not that privy. I don't know what's going on or when it's dropping, but it should be soon from what I've told. So stay subscribed to my socials and emails and my email list, okay? As well as the confessionals, Tony Merkel, Joel Thomas from Free the Rabbits podcast. Great guys. So to wrap up all this egg talk, we got so much to get through here. I got a boogie. I'm running out of time. During these conversations with Amalantra, Crowley discovers that his great work is to find this egg. The great work is the Freemasonry stuff, right? It's the alchemical great work. It's the purpose. It's the when Crowley says, do what thou wilt, that is the wilt. That is the will. The will of the creator is for one to pursue this. So his is to find the egg. Now, prior to this Amalantra working, Crowley also did a thing called the Albaldese nuts working, which resulted in a guiding path. And guess what that was symbolized as? The egg. And then you got lamb called the path. Looks like a big, dumb egg. And then later, Crowley's acolyte, Kenneth Grant, described lamb as an entity with an egg-shaped head. And it's also believed that lamb travels in egg-shaped light forms. So Crowley receives all these egg symbolism events in his life, told it's his great work. Later on, Jack Parsons uses similar techniques for the Babylon working to make contact with Marjorie Cameron, who pushes the ufology occult stuff even further. And what's interesting is that she had a self-portrait called the Black Egg displayed during her memorial service, because she was a painter and an artist as well, right? And you can see that image of the Black Egg kind of, if you just Google it or look at my episode artwork. And shout out to Nick Hinton. Nick Hinton, we were talking on somewhere, Twitter, I think, about a bunch of things, and he mentioned this Black Egg thing. So I was like, yeah, I'll throw that in there too. That's good. Good catch. But we can connect Jack Parsons into this whole mess of flying saucer eggs when we read the book, Jack Parsons and the Fall of Babylon by Paul Rydin, which is kind of a sensational book. I don't know how accurate it is or if it's sensational or not. It's a good read. It's fun, that's for sure. Seems well researched. So Paul Rydin says, Kenneth Grant writes, the Babylon working began just prior to the wave of unexplained aerial phenomenon, which is interesting that he wrote that. That's back before they defined UAP. Isn't that interesting? I just thought of that. So Kenneth Grant was the one that defined the term UAP. Man, I got to write that down. That's good. Isn't that something? Kenneth Grant coined the term UAP, unexplained aerial phenomenon. I got to double check that, make sure, see when that book was written. I bought that book forever ago. Anyway, the Babylon working began just prior to the wave of unexplained aerial phenomenon, now recalled as the Great Flying Saucer Flap. Parsons opened a door and something flew in. It may have been the atomic bomb that opened that door. Look, if you, I did an episode on Kenneth Grant just recently, a couple weeks ago. It's part of the Twin Peaks series, but it's not very Twin Peaks heavy. So if you're like, oh, I hate the Twin Peaks, shut up. Like, listen to that. I'm not going to talk about Twin Peaks at all. I'm going to talk about Kenneth Grant and the Trinity bomb opening up the gateway. It's very important. I need you to do that, okay? Cameron once saw a flying saucer and supposed it was the war engine mentioned in the Book of the Law 3:7-8. She thought the Earth would explode and the saucers would take her and her friends back to her original home on Mars. Frances King mentions Parsons' belief in flying saucers. Parsons felt the saucers would play a part in converting the world to Crowleyanity. So as you can see, the goals of the occult and Crowley and Parsons were to destroy Christianity. And that's what they're going to do with the alien religion. See how that works? Okay. Now let's go back to Jake Barber. I forgot about Jake the Snake. He said he was possessed by a divine feminine spirit. when he made contact with that craft or that entity or whatever. And this runs parallel to a lot of claims made by contactees, which describe these experiences on a variety of levels. Some describe them as bliss, and like Jake Barber, he's like, oh man, it changed my life. Beautiful. Other people are like, that felt like hell and I was talking to the devil himself. Jacques Vallée describes contact in a book called Messengers of Deception as, says, human beings are under the control of a strange force that bends them in absurd ways, forcing them to play a role in a bizarre game of deception. Carl Sagan's demon-haunted world, he compares medieval demonic activity to alien abductions. And he's a big old science nerd. In David Jacobs' book, The Threat, he says the abductees' neural pathways are linked to the alien, and the alien can control everything they think and do. And you've heard about this in various examples, like the Zimbabwe case seen on James Fox's The Phenomenon. John Keel and Cato, Willie Stryver all talk about the abduction element of the alien contact, okay? But to play devil's advocate, no pun intended, Chris, you know, I interviewed Ryan Bledsoe and the boys from Bledsoe Said So on this show a couple years ago. I like those guys. I'm reading UFO of God right now. His father, Chris Bledsoe, had a healing experience with an entity or UFO abduction or whatever you want to call that. He said that it felt like a divine force, and also described it as a feminine god of Hathor, similar to Hathor, or looked like Hathor, something like that. And in fact, Chris also describes the crafts looking like eggs of light. Interesting. And it's also curious that Chris Bledsoe may have some supernatural psionic abilities, which is what Jake Barber asserts is a component of this whole thing, tying us back to Stephen Greer. The idea that remote viewing, telepathically connecting to UFO craft and bringing them into consciousness, summoning them, that's the Stephen Greer CE5 protocol. That's what Project Stargate was doing. That's why a lot of these CIA folks are apparently interested in Chris Bledsoe's case. It goes on and on. He was on, I watched the episode. Oh, what was it? Was it Beyond Skinwalker? He was on History Channel and they put a cap on him and checked his neural powers and stuff like that. Interesting stuff. So what I'm saying is that not all abduction cases are pure terror. And what I am also saying is that Chris Bledsoe was just one of the most documented, believable things. I totally believe these guys. I totally believe Chris Bledsoe. Could I be wrong? Absolutely. But I have a pretty good read on people, and he just seems like the most honest dude. And they went through a lot of ridicule over the years for it, and they stuck by the story. So it's like, man. And it wasn't like he was out there grifting from day one. Some of these people, man, you got to watch and say, man, I don't know if I believe it. I'm not going to say the names. I'm not trying to catch any of the, I don't want no smoke, but there was Darcy Ware, who I interviewed on here. He released a documentary series on a particular voice in the UFO community that was doing mad sketchy stuff. That's all I'll say. Anyway, Professor Dana Pasulka, I've interviewed her twice now. She has interesting books, interesting connections. And let's see here. Oh, yeah. So my argument, because she presents the Invisible College, these UFO folks, and they have these sort of spiritual components, and then there's also this new alien religion component of it, right? Because she's a professor of religious studies. And Gary Nolan, who is featured in Professor Dana Pasulka's books, was also featured in this News Nation whistleblower interview from, you know, Jake the Snake's over here talking about, like, oh man, it possessed me. It was a divine feminine force. It was beautiful. I was crying. And there's a consciousness element to it, basically. So who's Gary Nolan? Well, in American Cosmic, Pasulka's first book, Tyler D is the pseudonym. Tyler D takes Gary Nolan under his then pseudonym of James. She's already confirmed this on my second interview with her about her second book, Encounters, that James was actually Gary Nolan. And Gary, because at that point, Gary had already admitted himself. So she was like, yeah, I'll tell you, right? I think. Don't quote me on that. Listen to the episode. Anyways, the point is that Gary Nolan is actually James. And Tyler D, his identity was, you can find that easily online. People claim he's someone else. But anyway, Tyler took Gary Nolan, a.k.a. James, and Pasalka to New Mexico to that sacred place, which I found to be one of the most interesting elements of the story of the book, that there was this alleged UFO crash site in New Mexico, and Gary Nolan and Dana Pasalka went there. Now, what's interesting is that's alleged online. I don't know where it is, but it's alleged that the sacred place is actually the Trinity site, which is the place Dana Pasalka described as ground zero of the new religion. And recall, I asked her on the first interview I did with her, I asked about how they had these stone monuments set up. Remember, they were saying prayers when they got there. And they had sort of a shrine, an altar of sorts there. And I asked her about this location again in the second interview, because in Encounters, they call it the city of San Augustine. But San Augustine is a few hours away from Trinity, so I don't know where it is. But there's another UFO hotspot in New Mexico called Socorro, which is right next to Trinity. And newspaper reports from 1964 say that the police officer who saw this event happen, Lonnie Zamora, said it was an egg-shaped UFO. Isn't that interesting? I'll read you the passage from her book. In my previous work, two places instigated a transformation in my understanding of UFO religiosity. The first was New Mexico, and specifically San Augustine, where I visited the location of an alleged UFO crash debris site that was reported to be among a flap of sightings and crashes that occurred in 1947. This was obviously a highly mythic and mythologized place, inextricably bound to the atomic bomb and military secrecy, as well as being the ground zero location for UFO belief. So, anyway, Gary Nolan was part of this supposed UFO Invisible College, a.k.a. the Fight Club. And in the years since, he made several appearances, Tucker Carlson, and Gary Nolan claims that, you know, he believes 100% in ET. And to them, it's not belief. They know it, is what they say, right? They're like, no, I work with this stuff. It's not a theory, is kind of how they look at it. Which I'm like, well, I want to make it a fact, too. Like, let's see it, you know? And he claims that the aliens have visited Earth, and they've been here a long time, and they may still be on our planet, which corroborates what the whistleblower from 4chan says. And what's also interesting is that Tyler D, the other main member of Fight Club, and he goes to the Vatican, has this religious experience after studying these saints' stories of them interacting with UFO stuff. He comes back and leans more into Christianity, but Pasalka showed Tyler the Tic Tac videos, the one I talked about earlier, that was the egg-shaped craft, and by the way, Tyler D said that he says the quality of those videos is terrible and he thinks that's done on purpose. But he says, yeah, those are pretty similar. So anyway, but in American Cosmic, there are three components to a UFO religion that she describes, right? There's physical, that's your nuts and bolts. That's like Tyler D's element. Then there's the testimonial. That's the actual experiencers. That's James or Gary Nolan. And then you've got the social beliefs, which is what Dana Pasalka is documenting in the books. Jake the Snake, he's got a little bit of all three. Kind of fascinating, right? And also Jake the Snake basically corroborates what Tyler D says in American Cosmic, that suggesting that there's a protocol for making contact with these entities by, and they describe it as sort of keeping your antenna clean, right? because Jake the Snake was talking about how unhealthy our food and our environment is. And Tyler D's whole thing is, you know, like yoga, meditation, no caffeine, no alcohol, no drugs, all this stuff, right? So I found that interesting too. So in conclusion, what are we left with? Another revelation towards full disclosure of 2025, no less. And this time it's leaning more into the phenomenon having a spiritual leaning. And it's also showing us the egg, which connects us into so many occult concepts, going back through Crowley's Amalantra wizard, telling him the eggs are his great work. Parsons saying the flying saucers are the symbol for the age of Crowleyanity. And then John Dee's Enochian language. Interestingly enough, in Egyptian mythology, there's a god called Kenef, like Ken Kenef from Connecticut, which is depicted as a winged egg. Okay. You know, I joke about the M&M thing, but Marshall Mathers is very similar to a prominent occult magician, Mathers, right? Samuel, I got to look it up. McGregor Mathers, I think was his name. Yeah, Samuel Lydell McGregor Mathers. There's your M&M. And then he had the whole skit called Ken Kniff from Connecticut. Oh, yeah. So his, the Greek equivalent of Ken Kniff, the winged egg, shows him as a serpent body with a lion head, which is the symbol for the Gnostic god, the Demiurge, the evil god, I should say. So all these things connect into that talk about the divine being the one, and oh, it just goes on and on. And so what are we looking at? We're witnessing a rollout of an alien religion. That's what we're witnessing. They're sort of casually inviting people in. Or it's mental preparation for Project Bluebeam. Or you've got two factions fighting. One trying to tell us that these things are a threat, and we got to take your privacy and build weapons to destroy the threat. Or the sort of hippie woo-woo, it's all love, man. These are just God. It's all us kind of vibe. And take note that in March, there's a new alien documentary being released called Age of Disclosure. And it stars Lou Elizondo, Mark Rubio, and it's by a guy named Dan Farah. This is the guy who is the producer of Ready Player One, which is a film about a dystopian digital matrix. And they interview a bunch of intel, military, right? Like the same thing you've seen over and over. Like, geez, how many of these are they going to make? Give us something, right? They even interviewed Jim Semivan, who wrote the foreword to Chris Bledsoe's UFO of God. I'm assuming he's a friendly. I don't know. But the trailer makes it look kind of like, okay, yeah, more of the same, right? Because they keep doing this because they need all the normies to watch one of these. So they just keep throwing out different ones. Like, you guys got to catch wind of this somewhere. But what's interesting is that The rumors are that they'll have footage to prove non-human alien intelligence, supposedly, on this documentary. The trailer doesn't imply that, but the rumor squawking around online is that this movie, this documentary shown at South by Southwest called Age of Disclosure in March, is going to reveal it all. And there's so much more, right? And stay subscribed to the podcast. I've got so many things we're going to talk about this year. I'm going to interview I don't want to say his name in case he doesn't have time, but there's a person I know who's an expert on Project Stargate. I'm going to have him on. He can break it down for us, which is connected to the announcement of that $500 billion AI Project Stargate between Oracle, ChatGPT's OpenAI, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and so on. Because they want to incorporate AI into our infrastructure. What does that mean? It means mass surveillance. This was the plan with 5G as well. Arguably could be part of Elon Musk's Starlink to get satellites everywhere. But it's so curious because Stargate is the same name as the CIA project of paranormal contact with aliens, right? And we also talked to Professor Pasalka on my second interview about encounters, about the theory that AI is a way of channeling these aliens or creating them, or they are AI. There's like this weird AI connection to the aliens. And it's interesting because Oracle's part of this whole thing, because Oracle, founded by Larry Ellison, second richest man in the world. Oracle was the CIA database project that he got his start on. So interesting. And then his kids are both in Hollywood. The David Ellison owns Skydance Media. or is the CEO of it, I should say. They've given us Mission Impossible, Annihilation, and so on. Margaret founded Annapurna Pictures, which has films like Zero Dark Thirty, Her, and Spring Breakers, one of my favorites. But yeah, anyway, and the reason I say it's part of the surveillance effort is because in September 24, Larry Ellison was talking about how we need AI everywhere for a surveillance police state to keep crime down, all right? And that's the problem, reaction, solution. Oh my God, everything's so bad. We really got to, it's terrible. You better not step out your door without us having a camera to watch you to keep you nice and safe. Like, that's what they're selling you. And the bigger question, is this going to have a role in Project Bluebeam? You know, the powers tell us, oh my God, there's this big threat, and what are we going to do? You know, they're telepathically linked to our heads, and why don't you put on Elon Musk's Neuralink cap? That'll protect you. In fact, just get in the digital matrix. We'll keep you safe from all these alien threats everywhere. You know, who where does this end? I don't know. One thing I do know is you can subscribe to my Substack for free. IlluminatiWatcher.substack.com. I'll have the link in the show notes. Go check it out. And the next episode is going to be the bonus episode for January. So if you want to get on the supporter feed so you don't miss out, you got three options. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Apple Premium, you just mash the button. If you're on the Apple app, it's real simple. Or if you know how to copy and paste an RSS feed into a compatible app, go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, go to the VIP section, sign up for a monthly tier one or tier two, and use promo code EGG. And you'll get in for half off for 3 months. My goodness. And you'll also help me troubleshoot my system, make sure everything's working all right. And I'll send you a little fun video, a little welcome onboarding video, a little cameo, if you will. So, lots of options, lots of links in the show notes. Thank you for listening. Till next time, stay positive. Yeah.